Archie Miller joins us on Sports Byline, head basketball coach of the Dayton Flyers. They're coming off a season in which they went 27-9, and they made the NCAA tournament each of the last two seasons. And if you take a look at their win record, 53 wins in the last two seasons. Archie, what does that tell you about what you've developed with that program?
Well, anytime you can win in college basketball, you know, in my opinion, it's just extraordinary to put together season after season. When you look at the best programs and they're able to sustain winning, it's remarkable because it's so hard to win. With all the turnover, graduation, transfers, it's really hard. So for us right now to be in very early stages of building a place, to be able to get some consistency going here season to season, you know, it's really important.
I have to ask you this because I hear it every year, particularly when we get to the playoffs, about Dayton, Butler, Wichita State, mid-majors. And I don't think that that's fair to put that label on those type of schools. Basketball is basketball, and they play some pretty darn good basketball. Is that a misnomer today, you think?
Yeah, I think that was the case maybe 5, 10, maybe not 5 before Butler made their run, but at least 10 years ago, the mid-major theme was important. Nowadays, with the one and done, the best schools in the country really can't hold on to guys for year after year. So what happens, Dayton's, the Wichita States, they get older. They get better. They have more consistency, and they're able to compete with those guys, especially on one given night in a one-game setting in the tournament. So the mid-major stuff is all good. To me, if you have a 70,000-seat football stadium, I think you can walk around with your chest stuck out. But in a basketball game, in a basketball environment, to me, there are certain schools that really have an opportunity to compete because of their resources and their fan base, and we're one of them.
You're certainly basketball born and bred with you and your brother Sean and, of course, your dad John, who was one of the top high school coaches in the country before he retired in 2007. Tell me what it was like growing up in that family.
Well, you know, I was very fortunate. Sean's not a lot older, but he's 10 years older than me. So he sort of blazed the trail with my dad. And, you know, he went on his way to have a great high school career, a great college career. He got into coaching. By the time he got into coaching, I was in teenager, you know, coming up 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and I was very fortunate. You know, my dad was a great high school coach. He built a high school program, and we played on successful teams, and, you know, basketball was just a way of life for us. So, you know, I was very fortunate to have those two guys really kind of blaze the trail before I ever got there, and, you know, in my opinion, I'm sort of reaping some of their rewards.
You know as well as I do, Archie, when you're a son and you're playing for your dad, that can be a two-edged sword. What was it like for you?
Well, you know, my dad was he's old school. You know, he's, you know, when you grow up in Western Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh, in many cases, you know, old school style of work habits, blue collar, come into play, and he coached that way. And, you know, there wasn't any give and take. There was one way to do things, and that was really, to be honest with you, just work really hard. And if you did that, you're in good shape. If you didn't, you were going to catch it, and I think everyone knew that.
Did you and Sean ever fear maybe disappointing him with your basketball play in any way?
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't speak for Sean, and Sean was excellent in all what he did. But, you know, we won at a very high level when I was growing up and in high school. And then once you get to college, that's a whole different ballgame. You know, he was no longer our coach. You know, he's kind of your dad, and he never interfered in anything. So never really felt that.
I know you coached under your brother for a couple of years at the University of Arizona. Did you see a lot in him of your dad and the way he coached?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, Sean and myself in particular, the development of players is such a key component to our approach. And I think that's my dad's whole approach, is being able to make you better, get you better, whether you're a fourth-grade boy in your fourth-grade team or whether you're a college player or whether you're his son. He just has a way of developing you, and I think part of what we bring to the table is a little different than just X's and O's. It's about making kids better.
You know, Archie, you said about your dad being a no-nonsense type of coach, and I'm just wondering – you know, in this day and age, coaches have such a challenge because they have to oversee their program. They also have to win basketball games, and they have to oversee what their kids do off the court. And certainly you had to deal with that recently as well. What do you do in that area? What is a coach? Because nothing really teaches a coach to have to deal with this stuff.
There's no manual for anything. When you have 13 or 14 guys who are 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, it's very difficult. You know, you just try to educate and try to teach about the right things to do. And, you know, even in some cases, good people make bad decisions. But, you got to learn, you got to grow, and you got to get better. And I'm not the only one who deals with it. And you know, if you're in this business, it's part of it.
You know, Mike Krzyzewski is a good friend of mine, and I asked him one time, I said, you have a reputation, Mike, of not screwing up a kid when he gets into the program. I said, what's your secret? And he said, well, when I go into a parent's home, maybe one parent, maybe two parents, I make sure I ask the parents a question, and then out of the corner of my eye, I look to see whether the kid is rolling his eyes or not when the parents answer the question. What do you look for as far as character and the personal traits of a player when you're recruiting him?
Well, I think, you know, that's part of it. You know, we call it the roll-your-eyes syndrome. You know, if a guy's going to roll his eyes at authority or coaches or parents, then they're going to roll their eyes at you. But I just think, in general, you can really study a kid in terms of what he's about, where he's come from, how he's done things till he got you, and that's pretty much what he's going to do with you. If you deal with baggage, if you deal with stuff that you don't, you know, necessarily want to deal with on the way in, you just have to understand you're going to deal with it once you got him. And I think, you know, part of it is doing a great job evaluating and understanding how to study a kid.
Flyers lost their leading scorer, Jordan Siebert, to graduation, but it's not a cupboard bear for sure, because you've got some upperclassmen that I think are going to help you a lot this year. Tell me a little bit about this squad.
Well, you know, we'll have four starters back from a team that, you know, competed very well last year. We'll miss Jordan. Jordan was a first-team all-conference player. But, you know, our returning guys have now won a lot of games. In some cases, they've won more NCAA tournament games in 2 years than a lot of programs have won in the past decade. So we'll rely on that experience. But I like our newcomers. You know, we have two guys sitting out, Charles Cook, a transfer from James Madison, Steve McElvain, who redshirted, who's a true seven-footer, who I think could maybe be a difference maker for us at some point, and a great freshman class. You know, high-character guys who have got off to a great start. They bring a great skill set. So I think our depth will be good. We're going to rely on our older guys to lead us, but I think our younger guys can really help us.
How hard is it to put a guy that's a seven-footer into your lineup like Steve McElvain? Because these kids like to go up and down the court, and that would almost be four on five. But how do you use somebody that's that tall today, Archie?
Well, if he can't run, he won't play for us. So the great thing about Steve is, you know, Steve's very mobile. And he can really run the floor. So we're going to rely on him to continue to keep the pace up with what we do. His size is an advantage at the rim, especially early in the clock. So that'll be something that we focus on. But I think we have the versatility in our program. We've shown that we can play different lineups, whether we're small or big. So in my opinion, you know, hopefully we can make people adjust to us like we always do.
It appears to me, off of what we saw in the NBA playoffs with the Golden State Warriors, that perimeter basketball is becoming more and more important. It used to be the big man, the guy down low on the post and everything. And now it's evolved to the perimeter play. Is it the same way in college, or just because you don't have as much height as what you might have in the NBA, it's going to be that way?
Well, I can't speak for the NBA, but there's probably 10 programs in college to get the best big guys. And, you know, I think we all know who those guys are, whether it's Duke or Kentucky or Arizona or North Carolina. They'll always have the best big guys. And I think there's a slew of other programs that either try to be big or recruit big players and develop them, but the game is going small. It's been going small for a long time. If you watch the NBA Finals, just in general, I'm not sure I saw one guy catch the ball in the post. I watched, you know, Dwight Howard with the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they ever threw him the ball on the block. Those days are over. And, you know, what we try to do is evolve with the game as the clock gets a little bit lower here in the 30 seconds. And hopefully at some point in time it'll even get a little bit lower. The game will continue to get more skilled and faster.
As my memory serves me, and it could be very wrong, but it doesn't seem like you've had to deal with the one and done at Dayton. And I'm just wondering how any coach has to deal with it. And has that been something you faced before, or only when you were an assistant coach at Arizona?
No, I was an assistant coach at a lot of places when guys come in with those expectations, whether you're at NC State, Ohio State, Arizona. In some cases at Dayton, it may not be as prevalent, but everyone has the same dream. You know, they want to play in the NBA, and they want to do it as soon as possible. And everyone's got a different, you know, mentality as they approach it. But winning is everything. And if you come into a place that has a great culture, winning can help you get to where you want to get to. And it's hard to convince those guys to do it. If you just look at Kentucky, it's probably one of the best sales pitches out there, just in terms of what happens when you win. You know, they get guys averaging 8-9 points a game, getting drafted in the top 10 or 12, and that's always the case, but it's easier said than done once you get a guy.
I love the image of the Dayton Flyers because they fly up and down the court. Archie, I want to thank you very much for your time. Good luck for another season, and I'll tell you what you did the last two seasons with those 53 victories and making the NCAA tournament, I think it speaks volumes not only for what you've done in recruiting, but also for the type of players that you have and the job you and your coaching staff has done as well. Come back and join me anytime here on Sports Byline.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Archie Miller with us again, head basketball coach of the Dayton Flyers, coming off a season in which they went 27-9. He's in his fifth season as a head coach, but comes out of a basketball family, as Archie and his brother Sean both played high school basketball under their father John, who was one of the top high school coaches in the country. So keep an eye on the Dayton Flyers this season. We continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.